Now, friends, we come today to the 11th chapter of the book of Job. We have been looking at the visit that his three friends have made to him in his deep grief and sorrow. And we come to the last one of those friends. His name is Zophar. And Zophar is a legalist. He assumes, and rightly so as far as it goes, that God works according to measure, to law. He pretends to know what God will do in a given circumstance. He's different, I think, from Bildad. Bildad is a traditionalist. You just go back and look at what's happened in the past. And he has a scientific mind that would look at rocks and tell you how old the earth is and think that he knows quite a few things because he does know some things. Now, Zophar has a scientific mind too, but he puts the emphasis on the laws of God, that God works according to law and number, or better still, probably if you bring him up to date, he'd be more or less of an atheist. He would assume that this is a universe that's following law. He doesn't tell us who made the law or where it came from, but that we're in a universe that follows law. And by the way, you can't have law without somebody making the law. But nevertheless, they assume that this physical universe is following through in law. And he's one of these fellas that, well, you ask me another type. That's an individual, you know, that I have all the answer. He knows all the answers. Now, Zophar's first discourse here is the voice of legalism. He holds here that God is bound by laws and that he never operates beyond the circumference of his own laws. And I suppose that he's the senior member of the group. And he speaks with a dogmatic finality that's even more candid and crude than that of Bildad. Now, notice what he does here as we begin in verse 1. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, should not the multitudes of words be answered, and should a man full of talk be justified? These men come up with some very striking statements, and some of them that you wish you'd thought of yourself. That is, they have a way of putting that actually which is true. Now, should not the multitude of words be answered? Now, what he's saying is just simply this, that Job is covering his sin with words. Well, Job has tried to make it clear that a man in his condition, suffering as he is not apt to put up a front. But this man ignores that, and he says, should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified just because you're talking your way out of this situation? Now, there are men that do that, that are unable to talk their way out of a situation. And they're able by a clever manipulation of words. That's the way some lawyers, you know, win cases in court. It's just the cleverness of the lawyer and not actually the fact that justice is being done at all. Now, this man goes even a step farther. He says, verse 3, should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? In other words, he's accusing Job of being a liar. And he not only accuses him of being a hypocrite, but he accuses him now of being a liar. And that's more crude than even Bildad was. Bildad said he was a hypocrite, but never called him a liar.